263, as he mentioned. Well, good morning and welcome. We're very blessed today and very honored to come here and worship the Lord. I'm trying to be more exuberant in my speech this morning. I've been told by Andy to pick it up a bit. And the topic this morning is one that is very exciting. It's one we should be very excited to see. I was trying to decide what to talk about this morning, and I was thinking about Wednesday night, and my invitation was, "I love you, but you're wrong." And I was telling Brandon earlier, when I was looking out, I could just kind of see the faces, and the level of excitement was rather low on loving someone and essentially confronting them in their sin. So in thinking about that this morning, I wanted to talk about something that is very comforting, something that is very exciting, and something that I hope will be applicable to us all, because it's something we can all have if we choose it. And I'm excited to bring the lesson this morning. As I always do, I try to present a lesson in accordance to God's Word. If I say something that is inaccurate or contrary to God's Word, I ask you to be my brother or sister in Christ and let me know after the lesson, and I can correct that statement. This morning, I will have a lot of slides, a lot of scriptures. I put all the scriptures on the slides because they're quite a... I think it's on, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Andy. And so, a lot of scriptures, and I say that to say I'll be referencing many scriptures. I put them on the screen in case you can't turn quick enough, just to give you a heads up. And so the lesson this morning is on happiness, something that we can all have, something that we should live with, and I hope you live with daily as a Christian, because there's a lot to be happy about. And so today I want to talk about seven ways to finding happiness as a Christian, some things that we should be doing and living with that should bring happiness for us. And to start, I have a few quotes on happiness that I liked as I was studying for this. I thought they were pretty good. The first one is, "Happiness is not a station you arrive at, but a manner of traveling." And then another quote that I enjoy from Abraham Lincoln is, "Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." Happiness is a choice. It's something we can live with. It's a great feeling. There's no better feeling to have than to be happy, to be excited. And so we have a lot to be happy about as Christians. And so this morning I want to talk about those things. As I mentioned before, I want to look at seven ways to find happiness as a Christian, because you should be happy and you can be happy as a Christian. There's a lot to rejoice in. And so I'm going to look at these things and we'll go through them. The lesson may not be very long, so we'll see what the time kind of looks like. Seven ways to find happiness. These are a summary of these things that I'll be discussing. We'll find happiness, and you can be happy in trusting in the Lord, finding delight in the Scriptures, living righteously, worshiping in God regularly, keeping a clean conscience, understanding to live contently, and staying busy doing good things. These ways to find happiness and living with happiness. You can be happy. We can be happy. We can smile. We can rejoice in the life that God has given us. We're truly blessed. To find happiness, we need to find, know, understand, and trust God. We must trust in the Lord to find happiness. We're going to look at some scriptures here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." We will not find much happiness in our lives if we look to ourselves when, in times we are troubled, in times we are weary. Oh, can't speak this morning. I apologize. But if we trust in the Lord, lean upon Him and acknowledge Him, we will have happiness in this world. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. Look to God's word, trust Him, and we will find happiness. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33 read, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows all the things you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We shouldn't be consumed or worry about the things for which our body and God provides. Seek God first and His righteousness. You will find happiness in these things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, we must pray with thanksgiving. Always be thankful to the Lord for what He has given us. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray to God. Thank the Lord. We often say in our prayers, "Lord, we thank you for the blessings for which you have given us." That should not be a statement of habit. That should be truly felt from the heart. And if we are truly happy, as we should be as Christians, then that's understood. I gave a lesson a while ago on peace. Finding peace in God. Knowing that the troubles that we can have on this earth can be overcome with the peace that God will bring us. Remember that. We may not understand, and we've been studying Job this morning, and I'm enjoying that study. We don't always understand. Those around Job couldn't understand why Job is going through these things. And as we studied this morning, they were accusing him of not being a righteous man, upright. And Job was having trouble understanding the things in which he was going through. And we may not always understand why we have trials and tribulation, but know that through God, the peace and happiness that we desire is possible. He will guard our hearts and minds. Don't worry, be happy. That's a phrase we've heard a few times here. A lot easier said than done. But seek that. Seek the happiness. Smile more. Be happy. It's okay. It's okay to be happy. We have a lot to be happy about. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. God will provide. You can be happy if you delight in the Scriptures. There's a lot to be happy about in the Scriptures. We often talk about the salvation we have in Christ Jesus and what a wonderful thing that is. There's a lot of people today that are asking the question themselves, what's going to happen to me when I die? I don't know. I don't know what to believe. We have those answers. We should teach them, and we should delight in those words in which we say, a home in heaven one day. What an excellent and happy thought that is. We should be truly happy not to look for those answers because we found them. We should delight in God's word. This, of course, statement is to be known when I make it, that we study God's word fervently, we understand and try to seek the truth in it. And let me disclaim that. But let's delight in the Scripture like God's law was delighted in. Psalm 1:1-2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands not in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." Let's meditate upon God's word and find delight in it. There's much to be delighted. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." How sweet those words are. As Christians, to know that we'll have eternal rest, eternal peace, much more fathomable than we can even know as men and women here on this earth, knowing only worldly things. But how sweet that is to hear. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Scriptures can provide so much. Comfort, strength, hope, joy, gladness, encouragement, and guidance. That's a lot to delight in. Please, I ask this morning to delight in the Scriptures, because you will find happiness. I say all these things, and in the back of my mind I'm thinking, how can we not do these things? Doesn't that sound so simple? What a wonderful thing. Open up your heart to these things as I say them this morning. Think about yourselves. Apply them to your lives. I'll say it again, but if you're currently sitting here and you're unhappy, find and understand the reasons why. And think about the things I'm talking about right now. Are you delighting in the Scriptures? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you living righteously? The righteous shall rejoice. Many sorrows will be to the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We know if we are righteous, we should rejoice. We should be upright. It's those who have an impure heart, who don't trust the Lord, are not glad in the Lord. Those are the unhappy. We should be happy for these things. And I ask you, are you happy? Are you righteous? Rejoice in these things. Smile and share your rejoice with others. Because they'll truly wonder, I wonder why this person is always so happy. Why are they in such a good mood? Happiness is contagious. Rejoice. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. We know how we should live in this world. And what a great thing to know. Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We deny ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly and righteously. If we're doing these things, we will find happiness. We'll have a clean heart. Our conscience will not be seared. Smile about this. Be excited for this. We'll be happy if we worship God regularly. What are your thoughts on coming to worship on Sundays and Wednesdays? Does it bring you excitement? Does it make you happy? Do you rejoice with your brothers and sisters in Christ when we come? I'm happy to hear sometimes when we joke. I'm happy to hear the joyful kidding that we have with one another and the banter that we play with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because those are signs and symptoms of happiness. But I ask you this morning, if you come here with some begrudgment in your heart, if you come here with an ache in your heart, an uneasiness in your heart, ask yourself, why is this? What is this happiness I'm missing in worshiping God regularly? Ask yourself, and only you can answer, in your own heart, what is this that troubles me when I come? If it's a brother or sister, go to them. Talk to them. If they love you as you love them, you can console your differences and return to the happiness that you should have as brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship God regularly. David in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David was excited. I hope that we're excited to come here. I hope there's no other place on this earth that you'd rather be. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Often we sing that song, right? We have a hymn that we sing often. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 96:9-11. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let us be glad in worshiping the Lord. Happy, excited to be here. Sometimes this stuff, the scriptures that we study can be complicated. Sometimes we can exert a lot of energy to understand them. And rightfully so, we should rightly divide it, the scriptures, and understand and have for the unity that we've discussed on Wednesday nights. We need to be in one accord and one truth, and that is in Jesus Christ and the doctrine from Him. We should be united. But in that should come a happiness to come to worship with those brothers and sisters of like-minded faith with one goal, eternal home in heaven, to share with others, to teach. Coming here, worshiping God regularly, should be something that makes us very happy. And share this happiness. The example you are to your neighbors, your brothers and sisters, your family, your friends, your co-workers. Hey, you want to go to dinner tonight, Wednesday night? You want to go to dinner about 7 o'clock? No. Wednesday night's my midweek Bible study. There's no better place to be. The restaurant will be there on Thursday night. Why don't you come to worship with me? You'll really enjoy it. We have a great study going right now in Unity. Once you meet the folks here, once you meet the brothers and sisters I have at church, no happier, friendly people you'll find on this earth than at East Columbus. Are those words true? I hope they are. We must share our happiness in the Lord. Sorry, I'll try not to go off on too many tangents, but it's quite easy for me to do. You can be happy if you keep a clean conscience. We all know no one here is perfect, and we sin. I hope that when we sin, our conscience picks up on it immediately. I'm sorry I can't snap my fingers, but I hope that when we sin, our conscience picks up on that immediately. We know from the Lord's Word that He revokes these sins. I shouldn't be doing this. That is your conscience telling you what you understand that is true in God's Word. I should not tell a lie, no matter the size. I should not discourage a brother or sister to do this or that. I should not speed coming to services, which many of us, unfortunately, something that is a bad habit. I hope that's something that we try to break. I know it's something that I work on continually. I know that I should not neglect my prayers to God. I know that I should not neglect the lesson I have on Wednesday night. I know I should be teaching others. I know I can be a better example. These are things that your conscience says to yourself when you aren't doing them. But we should strive for a clean conscience. I'm doing the best I can. I know I'm not perfect. And that's a happy thing. Be happy that we know these things. Like Paul, our conscience should be void of offense. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Why doesn't he say, I always have a conscience without offense? That's not the words. I always strive to have a conscience without offense. Strive. Keep a clean conscience. We are to have faith and a good conscience. Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning their faith, have suffered shipwreck. A faith is required to maintain a good conscience. You must believe in doing the right thing, understand what God expects of you as a Christian, and follow that with a good conscience. If you don't believe in the words in which God commands and tells us, then you will not hold your conscience to that standard. Good conscience to that standard. Keep a clean conscience. Paul served God with a pure conscience. We have that example. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Let us pray. Let us ask God for the strength and encouragement that we have to keep a clean conscience. We see so many examples of those in the Bible who have fallen, that have prayed to God, that have asked forgiveness, to strive to maintain and have a pure conscience. Let us do the same. The guilt of conscience is a burden. And I ask you this morning, are you carrying that burden? The example that came to mind for this is a story that we see in Genesis chapter 42. And I'll go ahead and read from that. Genesis chapter 42, to put in context, Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, and he sent his sons, 10 sons, and we knew Joseph at this time was living in Egypt. And Jacob didn't send Benjamin. So, Joseph, starting in verse 6, now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Joseph remembered the dreams of which he had dreamed about them and said, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. They said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men and servants, not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the son of one man in the land of Canaan. And as we go down further, Joseph said to them and spoke to them. He said, bring your brothers and you shall be kept in prison. Your words may be tested whether they are true. He put them in prison 3 days. And Joseph said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. And if you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me. So your word shall be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. Let's look at this next verse, which is a verse of guilt, a conscience that is burdened. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us and would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. What a burden these brothers had. They cared for so many years on the selling of Joseph, getting rid of him, and what a burden they carried. It's a great lesson of the amount of burden something can weigh on your heart over an extended period of time, especially. When you're unwilling to cast the weight of that burden away, it can truly hinder your happiness as a Christian. I ask that you confess your burdens. Ask forgiveness of God so you can be happy. We must learn contentment in a world where new and flashy things gets greater by the day. We must learn contentment. Paul had to learn contentment. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Are you happy with the blessings that you have? Do you know you're truly blessed? Do you live day to day striving to have more and more worldly things? No, there's a contentment you can have as a Christian that far exceeds worldly gain. If we murmur or complain, are we truly content? Nor complain, as some of you also complain and were destroyed by the destroyer. Be aware of the complaints that you may have. Are they large or are they small? Do they hinder your happiness? A sign of someone who is not content is someone who complains and murmurs often. Rejoice in the blessings that you have, for that is happiness. We need to be content in life. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Lastly, the last thing I want to talk about is staying busy. How busy are you? How busy are you doing good things? Are your priorities straight? What do they say? Time flies when you're having fun? Time flies when you're doing good things. I ask you, are you doing good things? Good things as a Christian. Let's look at some things. I'm going to ask you these questions, and I want you to think, am I doing these things? Because these things will lead to happiness. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but gossipers and busybodies, saying things that which they ought not. Therefore, I desire the young widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. How do we do that? How are we doing here in East Columbus? And how are you doing here individually on staying busy with good things? Are we gossiping or are we busybodies? I hope we're doing good things and staying busy doing them. Now I'm going to get to asking a few questions. So are you busy doing good things? Do you care for those who are in need? Do you help the sick? Do you comfort the bereaved? Do you provide encouragement to those who are hurting? Do you help a needy family when the opportunity arises? Do you share your faith? There's much happiness to be found in the faith we have. Share it. Do you send cards of encouragement? The measure in which a card can make in a person's life goes much greater than we sometimes understand. Do you make phone calls to those who need you? How do we know they need us if we never talk to them? Do you let people know they can depend on you? I'm here for you, whatever you need, brother or sister in Christ. That's what God expects of me as a Christian. Those are the good things I want to fill my time with. Letting you know I'm here for you. You can depend on me. Do you visit the sick? Go to the hospital when they're ill or having surgery. I'm sure someone will visit them. I'm sure someone else will go to the hospital. I don't need to worry about the room number. Someone will find that. Do we pass the buck? Or do we stay busy doing good things? Not other things, good things. Do you let others know you love them? Sometimes the best way to know you love someone is by doing all the things that I've mentioned above. But sometimes, just as importantly, some may not be blessed with financial gain to give money to a needy family. They may not be blessed in many, many ways, but something that can be said, or for those who cannot speak, something that can be written is, I love you. Do you do these things? Are you busy? It's amazing how quickly we forget our own problems when we set out to help others with their problems. And our problems can seem so trivial sometimes. If you do any of these things and they don't make you happy, please let me know. Or better yet, please pray to God and ask, how is it my heart is so troubled that I do these things and don't find happiness? We're not to be lazy, and my time is up, but we're not to be lazy. Ask yourself, am I busy doing good things, or am I lazy? Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord! We need to provide for our families. We know where to do this, not to deny the faith, and worse is the unbeliever. We're to be busy doing good deeds, as I've mentioned before. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith. We have a sense of worth when we work. Doesn't it feel great? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't fill your time working very, very, very hard for worldly gain. Fill your time working hard for the Lord, for that labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, immovable. Be strong, rooted in the work that you're doing as a child of God. I hope the lesson this morning has been beneficial. I ask, are you happy? I've talked about there are many, many other ways to find happiness as well in God's Word as Christians. But I picked those seven because I think they're very, very important. I think they encouraged me. They reminded me to smile more. Be happy. There's a lot to be happy about. I brought up a lot of points this morning about, for instance, worship, coming to worship. I ask you, have any of these words troubled you this morning? Do you find yourself unhappy? Is it because you haven't become a Christian yet? Decided to put on the new life, the new way of a Christian? Hearing God's Word, believing in it, confessing it, repenting of your sins, changing your life, confessing Christ, the Son of God. Obeying, being baptized, being submersed in the water that washes away your sins. But even more so as well, it doesn't stop there. Many youth today will become baptized, they'll be faithful for a short time, and then they'll fall away. But we must remain faithful unto death. As the years grow, we are to be ever more faithful. So I ask you, are you happy? Are you unhappy because your conscience isn't clear? You're not trusting the Lord? You need to make these things right. There's so much to be happy about as a Christian. There's no worldly measure, no amount of money that you can be given that is comparable to the happiness you will have in becoming a Christian, living a life you should, and having a home in heaven one day. I ask you to think upon these things, and I appreciate your time and patience. If you have any of these needs or need to come forward, I ask you to do so as we stand and as we sing number 263.